We're back with Bill Leverty on the Fritz Rock Show, 91.3 FM WLVR Bethlehem. You just heard Boll Weevil, Samson and Delilah, which, oh boy, I just love that one too. Wade in the Water, and we started the set with Hit the Road, Jack. Now, tell us a little bit about some of these songs and why you chose them. Let's talk about Samson and Delilah.
Well, you know, that was another song that I was not familiar with, but my brother, who is a music aficionado, he's a great guitar player and a great singer, and he grew up, we kind of separated our musical styles in the late 70s, I guess, where when Van Halen came out, I went that way, mm-hmm. and when he got exposed to the Grateful Dead, he went that way. He always played me some Grateful Dead songs, and I was like, man, that's really cool stuff, but I really like that screaming guitar on this Van Halen. And we both liked each other's stuff, but we kind of gravitated more towards our own styles, you know. And when I told him that I was interested in doing some old songs, he would send me suggestions, and he sent me the Grateful Dead version of that song, and I thought, that is such a great story and such a great idea for a song. I would like to look into this one. So I looked at a bunch of different versions. I was so surprised at how many people had covered that one that I wasn't aware of it. I'm like, what rock have I been living under to not know this song? And I found the Staples Singers version of that song. And that I think her name is Mavis Staples, the lead singer. And she just blew me away. And I thought, well, I want to try to, I'll never be able to sing like that, but I want to try to capture that sentiment that she put into that song. And then I want to try to figure out, with Samson and Delilah, the one I heard on that was Bruce Springsteen's version of that. That's the one that, he has this huge band going, he brings up all these guest singers and all these guest people, and that one, I gained so much. I always had huge respect for Bruce Springsteen in the first place, but after I heard that, I was like, now that is badass. I hope I can say that on your radio.
Oh, you sure can.
And I apologize if I offend anybody, but it just knocked me out, and I said, you know what, I want to try to do it kind of like that. And because I like the sound of the big guitars and all that. And the Grateful Dead, God bless them, they're an awesome band. Their guitar sounds have a jangly sound to them, which I really like too. But I like guitars taking up a lot of room in the mix.
Well, you know what? So do I. That's why you're on the Fritz Rock
show. Awesome, man. And the thing about, when I tried to sing it, I felt that because it was in a range that was a little different for me, so I tried to sing it with, I have this a voice where I can have a little bit of my laryngitis that'll kind of show through, and it kind of came out with that kind of
little bit sound. Of gruffiness there,
little grit, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it sure worked. In fact, one of our blues DJs told me that Samson and Delilah just blew him away. He loves the whole record, but that one right there is the one for him. And actually, there's like three cuts on here that I'm hitting really hard. But I wanted to say that you've crossed so many genres with this album. It can be played by many formats. Was that your intent, or was there no thought into where this music would fit in today's radio airwaves?
I didn't give it any thought, and after I was done, I kind of kicked myself in the butt because I was going, well, you know, I should have given some thought to the marketing of this, but I was just the art hat on, mm-hmm. and then after I was done with the record, it's then time to put on the marketing and go, well, who's the audience for it? And I just, when you go, what does it sound like? I'm thinking, gosh, I don't know. It sounds like a bunch of stuff that I like. I like so many things. Man, it reminds me of an A&R guy when he said, we got to make sure you know what you want to be when you grow up. And this record, it's like, I don't know what I want to be. I just love great music, and if I can be a part of anything that sounds cool and makes somebody happy and want to listen to it again, that's all I want to be. But you're right. It's hard to get it with the way radio is. Not everybody has the cojones that you have to be able to play stuff that doesn't fit right in the format. So it's not country enough to be country. It's not rock enough to be rock. It's not classic rock enough to be classic. It's just kind of all over the place. But maybe that's the way I am. I don't know.
Well, it works. It really works. Because, you know, we've passed the record around here since we've got it. I've passed it around to several of the staff members, particularly our blues DJs, and they all love it. Then I passed it on to our Americana DJ, Chance Austin, who does mornings here. And, you know, Chance is in working with Americana music and Americana artists. He's a media representative, and he works a lot of records and works a lot of artists. That's what he does. I finally got it to him. He was so enthralled with it that he has an internet Americana magazine. He's a video show a television show that airs on 57 markets in the country, and he was just blown away by it. And he's already put the links to a couple of the videos, the Boll Weevil video and Trouble So Hard, on his Facebook page. And you may be hearing from him soon, so I may have to pass on your contact information to him. So here you've got an album that, you know, visits these songs at over 100 years old, some of them. It's got a totally different sound and feel to it, and yet, even though you weren't sure what you were going to do with this record when you were with it, it's still finding its own home on its own when it's exposed to the right people.
Well, thank you for exposing it. That's, I just had fun making it, and I really enjoyed, I learned so much in doing this, and this was a great learning experience for me, and playing instruments. I tried to just dust off every instrument I had in the closet, from my mandolin to my old banjo that my uncle gave me.
Well, you know, it's funny. That was my next question, was, you know, this is obviously a labor of love for you. And can you talk about some of the various guitars you use to get such marvelous tones? I'm sure your signature Greb guitar was used somewhere in there.
It was, but, you know, the funny thing was is that you know, like I said, I wanted the songs to tell me how they wanted to sound, instead of me saying, okay, I'm gonna do it my way. I wanted to try to be more open and try to, it sounds a little bit maybe overly spiritual or whatever, but I tried to really just let the song tell me, instead of me try to be the boss.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, it made me have to go out and buy a Telecaster. And I wanted to, this album made me go out and buy a couple of pieces that I didn't have that would fit this. And I'm so glad I bought a Telecaster, because I put the Telecaster all over the record. Mm-hmm. It had, you know, it sounds like nothing else, and nothing else was going to make that song sound right except for a Telecaster. So I got a Telecaster on there, which I'd never owned before. I'm so glad I got one. I used an old Strat on the record a lot, which I haven't recorded, but except on one song on a Firehouse record. Out of our 9 albums we've done, I recorded a Strat. Just didn't fit for Firehouse, but that Strat was just called for on a couple of these. I have an old mandolin that a gentleman made for me that I really like a lot. This guy in Tampa made him. And I got that. And I got a guitar lately, which is like a little ukulele, but it's a 6-string ukulele. So I played that on a couple of tunes, and that has a really unique, almost like a classical guitar kind of sound, but it's an octave higher, so it sounds almost angelic. And I used, you know, my 6-strings and my 12-strings, and I'm trying to look in my closet now and see what else I've got here. Oh, that banjo my uncle gave me, that thing. It's one of the tuning pegs is broken, and it's got the same strings that he when he gave it to me. But I thought in this one particular part of a song called Run On that it needed a banjo solo. And I'm not a very good banjo player, but, you know, fortunately these days when you record, you can do it 100 times.
Uh-huh.
And when I'm on my time, which is free, it doesn't matter. The studio down the street, it charges $50 an hour.
I
have to set the pressure off. I've got my cold drink beside me, and I'm just taking it take after take. And then the thing would not stay in tune, but finally I got a take in with it. It was in tune. So I got to use it. And that's a 1929 banjo. And so I just tried to pull out everything that I had. I bought a lap steel off of eBay for a solo.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the lap steel.
$100 lap steel that I got off of eBay. I really love the lap steel. My father-in-law has one, and whenever we go there for Christmas, we break out the guitars, and I always ask to play his lap steel. He's got an old Gibson. I couldn't afford that, so I bought one off eBay, and I bought some stuff off Craigslist, and I'm trying to think of anything else that I put on this, but it was just basically everything that I haven't played or recorded with. I wanted it on this record, if it fit, and
it did.
Some of it did.
Yeah, it fit pretty well, man. It fit very well, as a matter of fact, I got to give you a bit of a compliment. I think your vocals laid down on these tracks just fit perfectly.
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate that so much. I love to sing, and I tried to figure out how to sing these songs. There's so many different versions of these songs that when I went looking around on some of these songs, some of them I could find any. I like the song like Boll Weevil.
Yeah.
I only found one version of that song. There's another song called The Boll Weevil Song, and that's a different song, but this particular one is like an Appalachian banjo song.
Mm-hmm.
And I found one version of the song on a website called playingbyear.com, and the guy basically has the lyrics written on his website, and he has a verse and a chorus where he plays an acoustic guitar and sings the verse and the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I heard him do that song, and it was in D, which was a cool key for fit my voice pretty well.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to figure out how to do it and make it fit the song. So a lot of it was trial and error and experimentation and everything, and I'm still learning. It's a work in progress for me as a singer, and I really love all the great singers that are out there that have such ranges and can do so much. And I have sort of a limited range and ability to I don't have a very high voice, so I tried to stretch my voice not only in the high part of my range but also on the low part of my range and learn how to sing some baritone stuff where I got to listen to, Johnny Cash, who's like one of the greatest baritone guys who'd ever walked the planet.
Right.
And listen to the character in his voice and trying to just learn how to do that. And I got a long way to go, but I'm glad you enjoyed it. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it worked. It worked. It was just, I don't know, there's like a sensibility to it, into where it fits in the mix. It's just another instrument in the mix, but it's very effective. So I thought, how you approached your vocals and how you laid them within the mix and approached the songs were really, really dead on. It worked. It worked really well. So your timing, your pacing, your phrasing, just the what you did with your vocals was really fine. Because I know you're known as a guitarist, but the vocals really worked on here, so I thought I'd mention that to you. Okay?
Well, thanks, brother. I appreciate that.
The album says on the back that it was pressed in 2009. I want to know what the hell took so long to get this record in my hands, man.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't get to Ann Layton as soon as I should have.
Yeah.
I had a different publicist in the beginning. He's a fantastic publicist. And he specializes in bands like Firehouse.
Yeah.
And I had a relationship, as a publicity relationship with Ann Layton years and years ago, and we remained friends for a long time. But I thought the natural thing to do would be to go with this guy who did the last Firehouse record. He's got all the, the contacts and everything.
Sure.
And he did a really good job, but I kept telling him, hey, bro, I want to try to get to the new people. I can get to the usual suspects for the Firehouse hard rock heavy metal kind of audience, but I want to get to Tom Petty's audience, or I want to get to their audience, and I don't think he knew a lot of those people. Well, after our contract had run its course with him, I sat and thought about it for a while, and I said, I need to call Ann Layton, because she specializes in this kind of thing. And So I got in touch with her and sent her a record. I said, look, if you don't like it, I totally understand. It might not be your thing. I know you might not have enough time to work this, but let me know what you think. And she wrote me back, and she said she really liked it and that she wanted to work it. So I was honored.
Well, it was kind of nice that when I opened up the package and I opened up the album to see that you signed it for me when you sent it to me, I thought, wow, man, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I think you wrote Thanks, AJ. And I thought that was very cool that the artist, actually knew where it was going. And kudos. Thanks for thinking about me and autographing the CD.
Oh,
that was very cool, man.
Anytime. I always try to do... What if it were me receiving a record? I want to, I like it when people have signed records that they've given me, and I've had a couple of artists sign the record, and it makes it special for me. And I always say that anybody who wants to order it from my website, if I stuff the envelopes myself, and I'll be happy to sign it if you just put a little note in there, say, hey, please sign it to John or whatever. I love signing it. It means the world to me because I work so hard to be able to give somebody an off, you know, it's just an honor to be able to do that, and I'll be darned if I'll ever turn one down.
You know what? When I opened it and I saw that you signed it to me, it made me, as a DJ and a program director here, it made me think, you know what? This guy really wants me to hear this record.
You're right.
So it worked. I thought, okay, he took the time to put my name on here and make sure I get the record. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to give it a listen because I get some stuff over here. You know, you can imagine it's a radio station. We get so much stuff. Let me tell you a little bit about us. You know, you mentioned about the cojones to play this kind of stuff. We are on the left end of the dial, Bill, college community radio. And, you know, I've done the commercial radio thing for years. I'm a professional broadcaster, but here I'm an amateur. None of us are professionals here. We're here to play for fun. And the beautiful thing about college and community radio is the fact that the DJs or the programmers, they have all the say and all the decisions in what they play. So it's truly freeform radio.
Well, I didn't know that existed anymore.
It does.
Yeah, that tells you where I've been.
It does, man. You have to go to the left end of the dial to find these things.
Awesome.
We're in the process here of upgrading our transmitter and going for more power and things like that. So the station is growing, and our listening is growing, and we're really pleased to be able to reach out to artists that maybe aren't getting the attention that they deserve. So that is why when I got the record and I listened to it that, you know, I made the contact. That's why we have you on the phone today, because I think you got really something special here. And I want to know, are you going to make any more albums like this? Because I think you got really something going here with this.
Well, thank you. I sure plan on it. If it's going to be a cover tunes album, then I've got to find the right cover tunes. But I think my next project is I'm going to try to write some songs that are in this sort of genre.
Nice.
Of eclectic Americana with an edge.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe
it.
No,
that's cool.
But I really, really, you know, the thing is that some of these lyrics in these old songs, they still stand up and are relevant today.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It really woke me up to realizing that, you know, that in writing a song, I've got to look at it differently.
Yeah.
Than what I've done past. And I think I've really gained a lot of knowledge and a lot of insight on not only what I've got to do tomorrow, but what they did then that still lasts the test of time of 100 years, and what people sing about and the things that they felt back then. We still sing about and we feel the same things now, and it's, you know, it's... So I've got to open my ears up more to some more stuff outside of the box, and I've got to keep growing as an artist. And this was a big step for me to try to do that. And so this is the first step in a new journey, in a new chapter in my life.
Well, keep writing. You got to keep writing those chapters because this is a book that I want to read, it's a book that I want to share with the listeners as well. You know, I don't want to stroke you too much, but I will tell you that honestly, since we got the record, we have been playing it quite a bit here, and I've been featuring it on my show for weeks now since we got it. So, as a matter of fact, we're gonna put some of these cuts into our overnight playlists, our automation playlists, so that they continue to get airplay. And I tell you, Bill, It is a fantastic piece of work. And I don't think you, as the artist, when you completed the project and you finished it, I don't think you as the artist really quite grasped how good it was because it was too close to you.
Well, I still don't. I mean, I know I really enjoy listening to it still, and I haven't gotten sick of it yet, which that's a good sign.
That's a good sign.
The thing that I just wonder is what other people are going to think, and I think that's just part of my... I don't know if it's insecurity in this business, you mm-hmm. know how it is,
and sure.
just, as an artist, you always want to be accepted by your peers and
sure.
by the other people that you know you respect their opinions on what they like and everything. And so, fortunately, I haven't gotten any bad reviews yet. So I think that's that's making me smile.
Oh,
and
that's
then,
good.
Then hearing you speak so highly of it, it just makes me wish that I could clone you and put you all over the place. It's just unbelievable.
Well, my listeners want me nationwide. They're always telling me you should be nationwide. You should be on satellite radio and all that kind of stuff. But
global.
You
all over the universe.
But I'm very happy here in my little home here at WLVR, and we do a fine job here, and we have such an amazing staff. And like I said, we passed the record on to our Blue Jays, and they're playing it as well. So, and these guys are diehard blues guys, and they're hearing tones, and they're hearing arrangements that aren't traditionally, blues style. There's a little bit more of an edge here in some of the things, and a little bit of different takes. There's definitely that Americana feel to it as well, and they're gravitating to it. They're like, wow, this really is something special. So there's one more thing that I'd really like to mention, and I'm a very spiritual person, and my listeners know that. I'm a deep believer. I saw that you thanked God on your record, and I wanted to say that it's so great to see that, because we don't see that as much as we should anymore. And when I see somebody, give thanks to God, it warms my heart to see that. So I wanted to say, great to see that, man.
Well, thank you. God bless you, and God bless your listeners. And I believe in God. And if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't have... I wouldn't be able to play guitar. I wouldn't be able to do any of this. One of the guys that really woke me up to the connection between God and music was Tom Petty. I went to an ASCAP awards ceremony, and he was the keynote speaker.
Okay.
And one of the things that he said was, God writes all the songs. We're just receivers.
Fantastic.
And I thought that was so powerful.
Wow.
And He has been helping me my whole life, and I really owe it all to him. So he's the first person I need to thank every night and every day and on every record, and I try to make a point to do that. So, amen.
Amen is right, brother. As we wrap up, can you tell the listener where they can catch up with all things Leverty, your websites and so forth?
Yeah, it's leverty.com, L-E-V-E-R-T-Y, and... please join my mailing list. I don't send out a bunch of spam or anything. I think if I did worked the mailing list like I should, I'd send out about one a month, but I don't, so I send out maybe three a year.
Okay.
So I won't overload your inbox, but I would love to have everybody on my mailing list so I can tell you when I got something new going out. And I've got my tour schedule with Firehouse up there on the website, and I got a bunch of pictures and stuff. And I'm open to suggestions on what people think I ought to put on the website, too, so that they can... help me, because I'm kind of new at this in a lot of ways, and I like getting input from everybody, and I like to contact people back. When they send me an email saying something, I write back to everybody. I might not get back to you, right away, but I always try to answer my email.
That's good to hear that the artist is talking back, because that means a lot to a listener, to a fan.
Yeah, we get busy, but not like anybody else. Where
yeah.
that when you get the downtime, you can sit down on your computer for take a half an hour and knock out your email, your inbox, and I enjoy it really, and I learn a lot from so many people out there that tell me what they're listening to, what they hear that I don't hear, and what their opinion is. I listen to everybody, so I really hope that everybody would contact me.
You seem to be a very humble and modest artist, and that's so good to see, because, you know, Firehouse, dude, you know, you come from a platinum recording band. You come from a band that was you know, riding the top of that metal wave back in the 90s, and here, you know, you totally shed that skin and threw it away and went back to the roots of really where this truly American art form began here. It's our thing, and you paid great tribute to it. So it's refreshing to hear and talk to artists who are still humbled their careers and their gifts and still remain modest and down to earth. So
all I have to do is put on a Jeff Beck album and I'm immediately humbled.
There you go. That'll humble you real quick, won't it?
That's right. So, and his new one is fantastic, and anybody who doesn't have it ought to get it. And so, I mean, that makes me go, you know, I don't have any room to feel like I'm the big deal.
Yeah.
I am a lucky guy with a real lucky job, and I'm just going to try to have as much fun as I can and try to make good music that I enjoy listening to. If other people enjoy listening to it, then that's the icing on the cake. But if I'm happy with it, then that's really what I'm doing it for. I'm not really trying to sell to an audience. I would love it if people would buy the record.
Sure.
It all goes to the benefit, the foundation that I've created called My Child's College Education Fund. if people just want to listen to it and enjoy it, that means a lot too. So,
well, let me tell you, you are the first. You are truly the first metal kana troubadour, there, buddy.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad to forge ahead into this, and I'm surprised that there haven't been more people out there. But, you know, it was so new to me, and when I grew up and learning how to play guitar from Eddie Van Halen or Ted Nugent, I didn't know about, some of these really, really old songs. Those guys might have known about it, but you're only a product of what you've been exposed to.
And right.
I should have been listening more instead of talking so much when I was a kid.
Thanks, Bill, for an amazing journey through the Deep South with a metal twist, and I'm going to send you on your way with another track from Deep South, and this one here is kind of special. I've been hitting this one pretty hard, too. We're going to send you away with Run On.
Thanks, AJ.
Can you hold the line?
Yeah, man.
91.3 FM, WLVR, Bethlehem. You're listening to the Fritz Rock Show. This is Bill Leverty from Deep South. It's called Run On.